Hey there. Hallo zusammen. Ha, so ich schon auf Englisch angefangen. Heute kommt die dritte Folge unseres Podcasts und ja, es ist super spannend, denn heute ist die erste internationale Folge und zwar haben wir heute den Nikita von Wollpost hier. Nikita spricht nur Englisch mit uns und deswegen ist heute die Folge auf Englisch. Nikita, hey, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Eddie, thanks for inviting. Hey, guys, my name is Nikita. I am founder of Wollpost. Wollpost is an MVP builder platform which helps other startups to build their MVPs. Me, myself, I also ran a startup before, so actually the name was same two times we failed.
So you were lazy. Yeah,
it's super difficult to find a new name.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially nowadays when they have thousands of startups starting up every day. So yeah, we were just more efficient, yeah, in a more German way. Me myself, I'm coming from Ukraine. I do software development for the last 10 years. And I think in Berlin, I'm already for 3.5 years or four, I don't remember. It's been a while. So we started Wollpost, the first Wollpost in 2017 or 16. It's been a while. And yeah, we were focused on parcel delivery. So me, myself, I had an issue. I needed to send a parcel and I didn't want to pay DHL. I think that it was like 100 euros or something like this to just send like a simple parcel to my family. So I decided to go to Facebook and just contact different people. There were like thousands of communities where you can just find someone who will be traveling and just carry it over for you. So yeah, that's what I did. And actually it was successful. And then I decided to, why not to build a platform like all of us are doing? So I started building this and at the end it failed. But I learned a lot. Then we started a product delivery. So instead of doing the parcels, we decided to help people to purchase different products from abroad. Let's say you're in Berlin and you want to get some stuff from the US or from Latin America. Instead of buying this and waiting like 2 months to get it delivered via standard posts, there were again travelers who could send it to you. So that was the idea. That worked a bit better, but this also failed.
And just once again for all out there, and we said it a lot in German and I repeat it in English. It's not that easy to create a product. It's easy to think about a product, but it's not that easy to create and then sell it. It's two different ball games.
Yeah, creating is much easier. I mean, especially if you're a developer, you can just do this at home in your free time until you figure out that it doesn't work at all. But that's the next step. You first need to develop this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
so this also didn't work. But at that point, I already had a team, so we worked together remotely. The team was in Ukraine. I'm also from Ukraine. Yeah, I think I already mentioned this. And yeah, it was a nice experience. And at the end, in 2019, it was September, we decided to pivot. So again, delivery, but now we deliver MVPs and to the other startups. Nice. And that's what we are doing now.
It was actually pretty cool because prior to speaking with you and your company, we had a similar minded company in Germany, which were already prepared like to work with us, and then yeah, we had like different opinions on how to go on, and that's why it wasn't, we weren't able to come to an agreement, and then I got like a big project, and then I said, okay, we have to do something now. And yeah, this was where we were like searching in the internet, because and it never came to my mind to outsource our development. Now it's not coming to my mind to do something else, to be honest. So it was so such a great experience to update you all. Nikita and his company were helping us to make the Digital Fashion Week possible, which we were talking about in the last episodes, which was a big event. This event was 5,500 people and over 200 brands showing off their contents and Yeah, of course, it's Digital Fashion Week, so it was about fashion. And we had great success, which, it wouldn't have been possible without you guys. So at this point, thank you very much for the help you already gave us. And I'm really looking forward to keep on working on all the stuff. Mm-hmm. I can drop it now. We have the next Fashion Week already like upcoming, and so we can keep on going forward with the platform soon. So yeah, but we talked this in private. So yeah, nice, Nikita. Thanks for giving us a short overview of where coming from. And Nikita already spoiled a little bit our topic today, which is international sourcing. Why is it interesting? So I think COVID was the real deal for international sourcing, at least for a lot of companies. It's not the first time I have contact with this. We had an Indian company, a corporation. It was, I think, 2015 or 14. And I was responsible for the Indian guys because I was the only one in the company who speaks fluent English. I was like 24. I was barely getting some beard hair in my face. So it was a really, really interesting experience from my side. And in the end, I really struggled to close the cultural gap we had, because they just have another standards in terms of quality, in terms of work ethics. They just have a completely another culture. It's nothing that I would say it's better or worse, because every culture has its benefits, but it's really hard to get together. So this was my first and only experience in international sourcing for developers. So I was really, really, careful in searching something. And this time, like, to pay it with my own money was a great, a great adventure. And I'm really glad that it was a good one. So this is definitely something I don't want to miss. And now it's like, when did we start? In November, I think. Yeah? And we have now a pause because everyone was exhausted from this 3 intense months. And but now, looking forward, I can't imagine starting to source in Germany, to be honest, because the quality that was delivered, and for me, especially, it was nice to work. Like, I like this international flair, you know. So for me it was how can I say it? It was really, really getting to me that international sourcing opens like a pool of talents which you can't get anywhere locally. And now we have our new employee, Paulina. She's living in Amsterdam. I'm living at the countryside in Germany at the moment. My other employee is in Hamburg, my partner too. Our designer, who was she was helping from Munich. So we already, from the very first hour of our existence at Leadbase, we work like without local boundaries. And looking forward to hiring people, the only thing I have to change from what I normally do is like do everything in English, and then it's fine, and then I can hire everywhere, and this is really great value. How it's from your side? You like you deliver work from for international sourcing. How do you see it?
So culture-wise, I do agree that different regions have different cultures, and sometimes it's very difficult to find a cultural match. I think for me, as our team is based in Ukraine, and me myself, I'm also from Ukraine, it was pretty easy to find a match here. But still, not everyone was matching me myself personally in terms of the values. So that's what we are also focused on when we do the interviews and hire our developers. So it's very important to find the right fit in terms of the values. Sometimes even the technical knowledge is not the most important thing. Of course, yes, it's important. You won't hire a person who doesn't know what they are doing, but still, I would think that it's much more important to teach people. It's much easier to teach them technically, rather than teach them culturally. Yeah. So,
like the saying goes, hire for attitude, not for skill, because skill can teach. Yeah. No, it's definitely something that you have to be aware of. But one question that comes to my mind, and something we talked already about, and it's, I think it's really interesting, is how are you getting your people onboarded? Because you told me one time you never seen anyone off your team in like all the years.
Oh, that's true, actually.
So you have to imagine, it's like 2021, and we have a company which is... How many employees are you now?
I think we are 24 now, 25.
They never met nobody of them. So he told me, it's cool, but it wasn't that special how it would have been like a year ago or like maybe 5 years ago. And I think without COVID-19, it wouldn't have been possible to think like this and to be that open-minded. And for you, it's like your daily business. So you grew up with it.
Yeah, actually, we were doing this before it became a mainstream.
you were the trendsetter.
Yeah, exactly. The oldest employee we have, we've never seen actually each other, and we've been together for more than 2 years already. Mm. That's a bit scary.
But this is also something that's really, really funny. I was talking to Nazar, and he was telling me, SQL, I was doing this years ago. And I was like, aren't you 20? But yeah, two years can be a long time in a fast-paced world. Yeah. And to be honest, I never had a partner for staying with me for 2 years until now. So, except my wife. So it's not that easy. But it's interesting. How do you live company culture?
So, first of all, we just have some kind of a feeling of the right people we hire, and we just see whether they match or not. Doing our first stages, we have lots of stages of interviews, and I think that's the most important part here.
How you keep them running? So how do you like? Do you have team building mechanisms or something? Or
that was a super difficult topic for us, and we were researching a lot of different solutions in order to find something which can run remotely. Because all these like articles on Google saying about the team building, they all are offline. And we are, we have people in the same city. I think we have around 7 or 8 people in Kyiv. All the others are again in the other cities. So it's also difficult. So yeah, but we found a few activities. We did a brainstorm and we started doing our retro parties. That's how we name them. And during the retro party, we normally play like different kind of games.
Okay.
That's what we are doing. And yeah, so far it works pretty well. People are excited.
Cool. So do you took computer games and just play together like online or?
We wanted to play computer games, but I think only 40% votes for this. So at the end, we've chosen like more, I would say, table or like,
So traditional games,
but yeah, one of them is Alias. Not sure if you know what is that.
Once again,
Alias. It's when you need to. How to explain?
You need to guess the person you are, or
no? You try explain a word without using the actual word.
Yeah.
You can only use the synonyms, so that worked pretty well. And recently we did another game. We needed to draw something and. Mm-hmm. You had to guess what was this exactly. And then I figured out that I'm not a designer, definitely. So,
Interesting. And I had just a question came from my. Ah, so yeah, language. Language. What's the language you use internally?
Oh, so as we are from Ukraine, some of us are speaking Ukrainian and some of us are speaking Russian, depending on the region. So it's pretty native. Me, myself, I speak both languages. So some of us are speaking Ukrainian, some of us are speaking Russian, and we just understand each other. For people from Ukraine, you don't really have this, you don't distinguish these two languages. These are just like additional words for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we even know. So in Ukrainian, I think it's like German and Bavarian a bit.
Mm-hmm. I don't speak German yet.
It's been only 3.5 years.
Yeah, it's been only 3.5 years.
I think it's difficult to learn, especially German, if you don't speak it every day. So
yeah, I do German courses now twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
This is something I have to say, because I have a lot of people asking me lately, how does it work with like outsourcing companies? I have a guest next week. I was talking to him, and he will also be on the podcast. And he asked about like the Ukrainian developers who I worked with, and he had a bad experience, especially with Ukrainian outsourcing, and. And I was also telling him that it of course depends. And what I like on VoIPost is, to be honest, that you have a structure and you have an idea. You have an idea to make it in your way, and make it as automated as possible and as transparent as possible. And I think this is something that's really, really important, and which I really, really liked. And but to be honest, if I wouldn't have been able to speak Russian at some point, it would have been difficult, to be honest, because for everyone that doesn't know, I also speak Russian. I was born in Russia like a gazillion years ago. Never been there again, sadly, but and it helped a lot, to be honest, because not everyone on your team is really fluent English speaking, or like. So that I think we would have been able to communicate, but it was a lot easier to do it in Russian. It's just you know it's like I have always, if I worked with someone, and I did the same as I was doing music like some years ago, and I always had like my vocal coaches were all always Russian. I don't know, it wasn't on purpose. It was just accidentally they were all Russian. So, and it was always like they spoke German, and it was okay. You could like understand each other, but you had from the moment I asked if they want to do the coaching in Russian, there was a completely other atmosphere. So because people become comfortable, because if you don't know the language, then you're not that comfortable and you're not that free in speaking. That's something that definitely helped. And for me, it was nice. I could like improve my Russian a bit.
Your Russian is actually not too bad.
I think it's okay for someone who never spoke it really. So I of course spoke it like in the first years until I got to like elementary school. Then like I never really had Russian friends. So I always had German friends. It was really rarely speaking Russian beside the family talking. And even with my parents, I speak mostly German. And all these grandparents, I also try on purpose to speak Russian with them. But you forget language, even if it's something you learn from the childhood on. Oh, I'm sorry. You forget it, and it's. It was really nice for me personal to talk in Russian, but I think this is if you want to improve on something, then I think also have, but what I'm talking about, I think you also have a lot of German customers or like, I know it wasn't that much in Germany, right?
Actually, not too much. For some reasons.
Yeah, because Germans are really careful in everything they do. And they're really blah. So sometimes it's really annoying because we're so so bored and ich liebe Vollpost. Nice. We have a chat actually, and we have someone following on YouTube. That's nice. You want to see it? So this is a chat message.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
Oh yeah. Hey Mikola, he actually worked with us.
Nice. It's finally some chat messages. What do you do if you don't see an employee cultural misfit after some month working? Ask Karen. So here you can read it.
That's a good question actually, and we have one-on-ones, and during the one-on-ones we always discuss pretty much everything. So we didn't really have such a problem so far. Maybe we just did a good HR so far.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also
normally I think everything is fixable. It just depends on.
Yeah. Nice, but as I understood you right, you're also like in the first weeks of the hiring. In the first weeks of the hiring process, you were like exactly looking for all things you that are important to you, right? So you have like
definitely.
Yeah. So then I guess that misfits won't be I hope I speak your name right, Karen, Karan, I don't know, sorry. if you see a misfit not in the 2 weeks but like after some months, how are you dealing with that?
So normally we give feedback. And we also expect our employees to give us feedback so that we can also become better. So it's all discussable. And even when we had the situations where we saw that something could have been improved, we were just discussing this. So, okay. Yeah.
Cool. And that's something that's outsourcing, or even if you have internal employees, and something I try also to implement with my employees is to have like a completely open culture. It has, of course, it has some drawbacks if you ask everyone for his opinion. Sometimes it can cost time, but in the end, I think the most important thing for your employees is to have the feeling that they are worth something to you, and that they are more than just a paycheck you pay them. So Karen, it doesn't matter if it arises like after 2 weeks or after a month, or after several months, if you discuss it openly, and if you then have the feeling that you don't come to a consensus in some way, then you still can say, okay, it was a try, but it's not a match. Swipe right. Was it right on Tinder? I never really did this.
We all try.
Yeah, and thanks for your questions, but I think we have to look at the time and go on. Nikita, what are your biggest challenges at the moment? So you say you have 24 people, and I think you grew really fast, you know, like 1.5 years since you started with the outsourcing thing.
Yeah, of course, during last March, yeah. We didn't grow much, actually. It was vice versa. But in terms of the challenges, I think the main challenge is to be able to scale quickly while staying dedicated to each of the founders you are working with. And also stay as closer as possible to everyone, even when you're already like more than 20. So okay. I think these are the main challenges.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how do you prepare to solve them? Or how are you solving them already, maybe?
So me myself, as I like automating everything, we've invented many different ways of ensuring that everyone is happy. So first of all, we do the health checks. Mm-hmm. We send the surveys every week to all the founders we work with. Actually, half of them are already annoyed by them. So this didn't really work well, and we try other options. But generally, we have weekly meetings where we meet everyone, like each of the founders we work with, and just show up the progress, ask for feedback. We try to be as close as possible as a team rather than a separate entity. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important.
Yeah. Congrats for how you're dealing with this, because from an outside perspective, I was really seeing you as a team and not like a bunch of single people to work with. This is really cool. What are your challenges with customers?
Oh, can you see this question?
to keep it a bit in a frame. For example, what do they wish? What are their biggest concerns that they come to you with?
Oh, you know, it's like about all the families which are unhappy differently in a different way. So it's the same with the customers. Mm-hmm. They're all super different. So it's all about personalization. Mm-hmm. We found a few patterns. Some of them want to be very close to the process and want mm-hmm. to know everything. Some of them are like super focused on the high level picture as they don't want to know the details, how it's going on. I think these are two extremes. Some of them like to control everything and want to be asked about everything we are doing. Some mm-hmm. of them are giving us more freedom and letting us to decide. So
which one do you like more?
I think we like to involve the clients in all our processes because we want to be sure that we do the right thing, as I think this is the most important. But in terms of the control, we like to be as free as possible because we also manage our time. I think that's also one of the challenges I forgot to mention, because as more things are coming in, as more things you have to do and as more time is spent on this, and it's very important to value each other's time and just keep it efficient.
Mm. Did you already start build like hierarchies in your stuff?
Oh, no, we don't like hierarchy. We are all flat. That's okay, what people are normally saying, but it's really the case in our case also, yeah.
But so we have 24 people. I think they are not all developers, we have to say. Yeah, they're also project managers, like, but not that much, I think.
Yeah, but we think from a platform perspective. Well, let's say a project manager is not a manager for the team, but rather a support who helps the developers mm-hmm. to execute well. That's what we are doing. Me, myself, I'm also a support to all of our team members to ensure mm-hmm. that they can also
work. But how long do you think you can like work without hierarchies? Because I imagine for me, to be honest, it was already a challenge to like what would we think we have like four developers we had in December or so working on the project. Then I had my my guy for the infrastructure. I had my work student, and I had my and I had the designer. So like in peak, I had like seven people to hand information to, and I think it was really difficult. Or how do you work with this?
I think in our growth, the most crucial point was when we had like five developers. I don't know why, but after five, it just became super easy. I think it's like when you have children. I don't know. It just went easily. I think we were just focusing on the people who were independent and were responsive. But I found out also doing our HR, we were doing that there are two kinds of people, ones who require lots of support and mm-hmm. ones who are more independent. And we prepare the second ones, but we still give them lots of support to ensure that they grow. And also,
are you doing a lot of code reviews? I think I know you are really picky for code quality also.
In terms of the code quality, yeah, I still do the code reviews. I think now, like last week, I found out that it takes me already 2 hours a day, and I started delegating some parts, like the simple ones, but the complex ones are still the ones I'm actually doing.
Okay, so I'm really interesting to see how this develops, because if you keep on growing like this, yeah, next time you are on the podcast, you will have 100 employees. One thing I'm really interested in, and this is a really good question we have in the chat, is how does a beard help to solve complex management tasks?
Oh, I actually found out that, yeah, when I had 5 employees, I haven't had a beard yet. So I think that helped me a lot.
It's a very good question.
Yeah, as long as the beard is, as more employees you can have. So you should have a super long one, you know.
Hundreds of them. Really good. Yeah. Thanks very much. Another question from my side again. So I get this one back. How do you find your people? So to be honest, finding 24 developers is something...
Non-developers. No, I cannot handle 24 yet.
So how many developers do you have?
I think 16.
Yeah, 16. That's already a lot. How did you get them, like, in a course of one another? As a startup. So to be honest, I know big companies that struggle to hire 16 people in a year if they search for developers. So... do you think it's a benefit of sourcing internationally and not locally?
Definitely. Why should you stay within a single area where you can? I mean, we are in 2021.
Yeah, last time I looked, it was 2021, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's 2021, right? Yeah. I mean, we can hire people from everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. But is there, for example, if you now need a developer and you can't find someone like Russian speaking, for example, I think you have a great pool with Russian speaking people. That's for sure. Would it be an option for you to hire, for example, a French guy?
That's a good question. We try to keep the number of dimensions as low as possible. Even with our stack, we are working with the same with people. Once you have more dimensions, like different languages, it will all become much more complicated, and that's what you don't want to, at least at the beginning.
So you have cultural rules to really. You have like some. You try to keep the moving parts as little as possible. So.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it becomes too complicated.
Okay, and of course, this helps a lot. Then, but then you have like. You're still like national, and maybe if you like take the whole Russian speaking part, you're international, but you're not truly sourcing everywhere.
Yeah, but we have one of our employees who is traveling always, so you can say we are international. She's in Bali at the moment.
Yeah. This was a really nice story. I tell it always when I tell it that I work with you, I tell always my developers are everywhere. One of them is on Bali. I know she's not a developer, but it sounds nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's really cool. And like I said, I really like the international flair we have, There's also speaking different languages. Like I had like nearly every day that I had to speak Russian, I had to speak German, and I had to speak English. It was Russia International. Yeah. And it was really for me a nice experience. So, and it helps with my language skills a lot. So I spoke so much English in the last weeks because we also, our customer has like a Dutch part, and so we always speak English in the project. I think only 10% of the content I consume is German anyway. So I consume nearly everything in English. And also I like 2 years ago or 3 years ago even, I started to watch every movie in English or like in like foreign language. And it became a big part of my life. It has always been with IT. All the tutorials, everything you watched, everything is in English. And I really dislike most German YouTube channels. Anyway, all the German YouTube channels I really look are like FIFA channels. So FIFA streaming. So if sometimes if you need some distraction, it's a nice touch. But yeah, and but it's something different to have then actively used the language instead of only hearing it. And a lot of Russian kids do this because they're like ashamed to speak Russian and German when they're small.
Oh, really?
So yeah, yeah. It's, it depends, of course, on the child. But if you only have like the German speaking people around you in the class, then yeah, sometimes children like start to yeah, not really be proud of that they have another language to speak with, but more ashamed that they speak another language. It's a bit weird. I don't know if maybe nowadays it's something else. They understand nearly everything if you say it to them in Russian, but they barely can't speak a word. That's the biggest difference I know from like active and passive language. It was the same for me. I understood nearly everything, but I was barely speaking Russian. So, yeah, I was glad. Nazar was so nice. It was a really, really developer. Like it was, I was like, yeah, and my Russian is not that good. And he was, yeah, I know. So without any hard feeling. I really can love about things like this because I'm taking myself not too serious, and it was something I actually know from many developers that they sometimes lack like a little bit of sensitivity, and it's something that comes with experience, and if you like try to interact and like look for people's reactions and so on and so forth, you get better there. But that's why I started my first company with like IT training combined with like communication skills. The communication training helped actually with the learning of things because all the it was like a good combination, and it's something I have to retry to bring this to market because some developers really need this. But no offense to here, it was all fine, it was all cool. It's just a funny story here. Yeah, it's really nice. So how's your feeling? Yeah, thank you, Klaus. Klaus was actually in the first and only piloting a session of my training course. It was really weird. We had 2 days. We had a good hotel for the course in Hamburg, and it was a really, really nice experience. We had really good food. We had a view over the Alster. It's a big lake.
Not in Hamburg.
Yeah, it was really nice. And yeah, people learned a lot. So we have another question. It's really to be honest, I never had a live stream with actual chat messages.
Are they real?
It's the first time for me. I think Karen was like the first one, and was really sad that it was in German. But I promised we will have English podcasts, and now we are here. Yeah. So, what is more difficult challenge? Implement unnecessary features or explain the client that it's not needed? This is a really good one, and every developer knows it. Everyone.
I think it depends on the client, on the feature, and on the state of the moon.
The state of the moon, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I would say it really depends on communication. It's always good to just communicate this instead of doing something wrongly and then regretting about this.
It's actually interesting because what we always like how I learned it, I can say, is if a customer comes with a really dumb feature request, then what we always did is either try to talk him out of this or make it really expensive. so in either way. If you really want it, then you have to pay for it.
but the worst, if you even make it expensive, they still want it, you know.
Yeah, but then you get the money. It's like insurance money for pain. And I think this is really, really interesting. Every IT company, every developer knows this. And you have this all the time. And in our project, I was the customer and the first time in my life. And I also felt like sometimes I don't have the right view on this because I really are focused on one point. And then if someone comes from outside, looks at this one point and says, but in the whole context, it doesn't make sense. I think we also had some discussions like this. And I was really pleased to have someone thinking with me. I could share my thoughts. It was really, really important. And it's really something that everyone knows it's happening again and again. But sometimes it's I think nobody's to blame here. But I have a lot of colleagues that were just doing like customers saying, and afterwards nobody's happy. But he or she doesn't care because they got their money, and So Karen said it's important to make customers see the business value on it, I pretty much agree. But the customer comes, and in this moment, you have to tell him there is no business value there, to get out of it. So it doesn't make any sense to make any. But to be honest, nobody's always right. Nobody's really 100% right all the time. Sometimes you have you think about a feature and you say it's dumb, but in the end it just works. So it can go either way. No? So
yeah, that's actually also a good point regarding convincing them, because that's really also part of our job. And sometimes when we see something really redundant, which can be done manually and will be used just a few times, we just say this.
Yeah, definitely.
Not everything should be automated, right?
Definitely. Cool. Nice roundup here. I tried to get the podcast on every topic into one topic where you like look a little bit into the future and see how things develop. First, one topic, Corona. I think we already told this sometimes. It had a big impact. No?
Yeah. At the beginning, it was super negative. I think everyone felt this last year, but now we see that it became much more popular. So I think the market has a pretty good potential nowadays.
Yeah. It's also my experience. We have all the IT budgets as Corona started. It's like it was like always, especially in Germany, first thing where people started to make cuts were like IT. And to be honest, this time I wasn't really sure about this, because now you have the time, you have a little bit less operational, you have a little bit less operational load. Use it for like updating your IT. There won't be a better time for this. But like after 1 year, everyone accepted that this won't go away that fast. I think people like started to keep working again. That's what my experience was, at least.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. Especially in December last year, people just became crazy and everyone wanted to do so many things they didn't do like pretty much rest of the year. So,
Definitely. So, Nikita, is this something that let's imagine we will have a world where we use AR, for example, and we're just rendered in the same room. Will we ever see each other again?
Why?
I don't need to smell you.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I think people will still see someone just for fun, you know, to see a real person, but definitely they won't be doing this just because they're forced to.
Be honest, all the time we were working together, I was a little bit sad that we could not meet each other, like for having like a casual conversation, which was like, I think a lot about this. I think a lot about this lately, because I always think what changes, and all the digitization is a lot of times it's more something like an 80% policy. You say, okay, it's not the 100% experience, but it's 80%. It's fine for me. I only have 20% of my of the invest of the 100% version. So yeah, I take this one over the actual meeting, the actual event, the actual conversation in person. And I sometimes I think about, will it lead us to a world of 80% solutions?
Depending on how fast they are changing.
What do you mean by this?
Maybe this solution won't be needed in a few minutes. So why should you invest 100% of your time in this?
Ah, okay. This is interesting. I never seen it like this. So you say we have a fast-paced world, and this fast-paced world is responsible. And yeah, to keep up, you don't have the time anymore for 100% solutions?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
this is actually interesting. Yeah, from a budget perspective, of course, if you have to develop, you have to develop faster. This means you have to invest more in research and development if you want to keep up with the market. That's why you need an 80% solution, maybe, to not waste a lot of time going to events and actually use the time to do something that really matters and not sitting in a hotel and drinking beer with random people who never buy anything from you. It's actually a good point. Never thought about this. And what do you think? Tech is like, I think we are the nearest to work like this. So like from developers, if developers write code, they like focused and they can sit in the Himalaya, or they can sit on Bali. It doesn't make any difference. Like they look on their black screen with their colored text, and so it's a pretty easy task. But if we like think about something that always comes up with 5G, for example, and low latencies, it's like something like remote doctors. Will this be something that will be a future, so that the robot will do the operation, but the doctor is like moving the robot?
Then we can also outsource this.
for example, I don't know if I. Mm. I think this is something. This is a pretty good example, but because a doctor like cutting you open is someone you really have to trust and who really has to build up credibility. I'm not sure if I would like to, I'm not, but if I, for example, want to have like the best doctor and he can only operate remote, for example, you have like the best brain surgeon in sitting in like New Zealand, and he's not. Well, New Zealand is a bad example because the latency is already too high for operating remote.
Yeah.
But let's say he's sitting in Russia and we have like some kind of like trade war or something, and he cannot come to Germany and I cannot go to Russia. And from Russia to here, if we have like the right systems, maybe latency isn't an issue anymore if we try to solve quantum communication. It's also possible. Then we have no latencies, then everything can be remote.
Yeah, depends on the doctor also.
but that's what I say. From my first gut feeling, I would say I never would like hire a remote doctor if I can hire a local one, to who I can speak. But if his credibility says, or his track record says, he's the best in the world, but he only will operate you remotely, I at least would think about it.
Yeah, I would just check their Google reviews.
I already thought about like using Bitcoin to prove things, or like not Bitcoin, to the blockchain technology, to have some proof socially So, for example, you create a piece of content, a video. You sign it with your personal ID or token, and the signature is going to the block into the blockchain, and then it's safe. And the video player itself could be, for example, only playing videos with a valid blockchain signature. So you would have solved DRM.
I would just build a player which skips this.
Yeah, of course. Maybe possible. Maybe you make this part of an encoding process or decoding process. But at least you can track down. So if you can't avoid it, but you can track down if there's piracy going on.
Yeah, that's the issue. And I think in such case, thanks to 5G, I think we can just see this on a remote machine and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Then we have our quantum communication for latency-free streaming. That's what we need.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's interesting. I really like to look forward in the future. If you take out climate change is really bothering me. But otherwise,
probably as cold as it's now in Berlin.
Yeah, but to be honest, as I was a child, it was pretty normal to have cold winters here, and from an environmental perspective, it was like our environment was prepared for this. You also see like every year, if you don't have a clear winter, then you also have like consequences for the summer from this and so on and so forth. So I really was glad that we had like a week of real cold temperatures like some weeks ago. But then I was again worried because like we have a 30 degree uplift then to like 18 degrees like in a week. It was just
It was super fast.
It's just ridiculous, and all the extremes they get more, and that's something that I really really like to emphasize. If you outsource, if you don't have travel from your employees and they can work from home every day, so even if you like then fly them once a year to one point to have a summer event or a Christmas event or something, I think it's from a CO2 standpoint still a lot better than the people having the people like driving every day and like heating the office and while they're still heating their homes and things like this. So I think the outsourcing is also not the solution, but a part of the solution for all the pollution that's going on in the world.
We need to put it somewhere on our website.
I spoke last year to someone who's doing like the CO2 certificates, so that you calculate all the CO2 that you emit or your company emits with doing what you do. And there is home office actually a problem because it's not that easy now to calculate the work related CO2 because it's mixed up with the private CO2 you emit with your living circumstances because you have more lights on, you have more heating, you have you use your computer there, and you're just a lot more at home. Maybe you cook at home, and you have a higher like energy need if you stay at home and you're not in the office, but this energy need is not all work related, and it's like a mixture of private, and it's really a problem for all the people out there calculating CO2 for CO2 that your company emits, because you can't divide it anymore. But I think in the long run, it's really something that could help the general environment, and also not having live events anymore in that scale. Or so maybe what you were like on 5-6 live events for your your company and your products, and now maybe you just scale it down to one, and the rest you do online. So. And I think yeah, we now got used to, now we have to find the concepts that work. And I think then we, that also has an impact, of course, on the environment. But I think you should write it on your website, actually. Save to you too. Work with us.
Yeah, everywhere.
Karen said something interesting. He said, I think the climate change doesn't need big discussions, but needs simple actions like planting trees, reducing pollution, use renewable sources, etc. And it's something I think in all the climate change discussion, people always search for the big solution, the one that everyone needs. In the end, it will come down to a mixture. So I'm completely with you there. I think a lot of small things will make the change and not the big one. Of course, maybe we have like a wonder in battery technology. This could help a lot, but I wouldn't count on it. Okay, Nikita. Thank you very much. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. And to have you as our guest today. Now comes the part we all were waiting for. It's a little bit of self promotion. So I post the link to Nikita's company down below now. And Nikita, now you have so it's www. Screw this. It's Voipost, V-O-Y, I think, yeah? P-O-S-T, .com, for all of you that only were listening on the podcast. Otherwise, you always can revisit the video also on YouTube and I think Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn, of course. Yeah, everywhere where the video is now shown. And yeah, Nikita, if I'm a company, when should I contact Voipost?
Oh, first of all, you need to know what are you doing.
And what do you mean by this?
I mean that we don't really focus on, let's say, design or some kind of ideations. We only do delivery. So you need to understand what exactly you want it to build. Mm-hmm. And before even coming to us, you also need to ensure that that's what you are actually building is needed for your users. So you need to user test it with a prototype, with something super dummy like Figma or any other tools. And only after come to us. Please don't come to us if you don't know what you want to build, because we are not the ones who will help you to define what you actually need to build product-wise. Mm-hmm. But from a technical perspective, that's actually us who will take it over and deliver it.
Yeah, that's really important, because from my experience, also the questions that you guys were asking, if I didn't had a clear product in my mind, it would have been impossible task to come up. And also having a ready to go design was really helpful, I think, to like reduce the questions and just have a more smooth experience here. Yeah, thank you very much. From my point, I work with Voipost. I only can give you guys a really great thank you once again. It was and is a pleasure to work with you, and I look forward to future steps we can make together. And if you need a really quick solution for having additional development hours or development strength, and from Nikita's technical knowledge, it's also pretty rich, to be honest. Helped a lot, because I'm not the web developer from my education, and it helped a lot to talk about things. So once again, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. Like always, the podcast will be available on Spotify, Deezer, and Apple Podcasts. I think somewhere Monday or latest Tuesday. Apple needs like always 2-3 days to check everything, but on Spotify and Deezer it will be on Monday. And yeah, thanks again for listening, everyone who's listening to the podcast. It was a real pleasure. I'm really glad that we were like able to produce now 3 rows in a week, and it's first time we didn't have any live problems with camera or something. So we needed 3.5 times to make this like a smooth experience, and yeah. Nikita, do you have some last famous words?
Sure. First of all, Eddie, thanks a lot for inviting. And I think we built a really nice product together. And you were also a super, super, super nice client of us. And really,
finally, someone says this.
He's really the best. He knows all the answers, and he always knows what he wants. That's super valuable. I think that's one of the best things in the world. And yeah, also thanks everyone for watching. It was also a pleasure to answer all your questions. And yeah.
Yeah. So I tried once again today and to give the outro like not 5 minutes later. So yeah, everyone, thanks very much. It was a pleasure with you, and see you the next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.